B-Pod Studios.
Football.
Need help setting your lineup? Mike Lockhart and Tucker Silva can help on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Fantasy Football Show. Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Listen on air and online. And now, you can also watch the show on the Sports Hub Twitch channel.
Why are you waking me up now?
It's TNR on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
It's Toucher and Rich's.
Toucher and Rich, who are a bunch of sports yahoos.
Best moments of 2019.
Share some memories.
Yahoos.
We are Toucher and Rich. What's going on here, Rich?
So, it is that time of year where we reflect and look back on some of the moments that we laughed, we cried.
How much free entertainment we gave you. How giving we were to just do all of this.
And today we are going right into the thick of it because this is my favorite. And sometimes we build up, but I said, let's start with the best one. In my opinion, I know you guys have different choices. But in my opinion,
I can't remember what we did yesterday.
I know you can't. But the one thing, Fred, you'll definitely remember this because you were one of the central people involved in it. And let's go all the way back to, I don't know if this was the very end of January or the very beginning of February, but it was Super Bowl week and confrontation.
I do remember this.
That Fred had with the infamous Jim Gray incident.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. The Big Y World Class Market guest chair is Jim Gray, someone we talk about once a week during the football season. He is exclusive.
Must be a slow moment.
No, it's great. Because there's so many things. All right, so first of all,
Jim Gray.
Yes. Jim Gray, Jim. Oh, I didn't mention his name. Jim Gray. He's very recognizable. I didn't think I'd explain it. All right, so Jim, we're fascinated with your relationship with Tom Brady. Okay, so you do the
Westwood. You have a lot of time on your hands.
What else do I have to do? What else? I do a 4-hour show.
Okay, so
you do the Westwood One interviews.
Yes, sir.
But then during the documentary that they did, what was it called?
Tom versus Time?
Tom versus Time.
Oprah Winfrey special that he did Super Soul Sunday. It was kind of funny because he's doing the interview and then very out of nowhere, it seemed kind of strange. Behind the camera, it was Giselle, one of the producers, and you were there for the taping of the Oprah interview. So what was the story with you being part of that Oprah thing?
I was invited to dinner by Oprah, so I came to dinner.
But that
you
was
know her like that?
Really?
Should that be surprising? That I'm sure you have friends. Yeah, I was invited to dinner, so
I'm not friends with Oprah.
But that was
a big deal.
But that wasn't dinner. That was a taping of a show. So,
well,
so
it happened right before dinner.
At Tom Brady's house?
No.
Wasn't that filmed at Tom Brady's house?
No.
Where was it filmed?
Where Oprah films her stuff.
And that's
California,
where you guys...
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner?
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No,
I'm trying to answer the question. So I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't.
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay. So you got there really early for dinner then.
Perhaps they ran late.
Well, it was the beginning of... it's very secretive.
No, I mean, I don't know what you're trying... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
what are you trying to
don't
figure
worry,
out?
Don't worry about it. You don't want to be here. All right. We'll have the headlines.
Real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's what you wanted?
You just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
It's a stupid question.
But real quick.
Then I don't want to ask
you. Question.
Okay,
what
it's
were
a stupid
doing?
Question.
What were you doing, having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you, and he didn't like the answer.
Oh, Jesus, Jim, just go. Do whatever you have to do. Bye. Here's the headline.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, good. 98.5 The Sports on Toucher and Rich. We're on Radio Row. Jim Gray just yelled and swore at me.
A lot going on here in the last five minutes.
We'll get into the Jim Gray stuff in a minute, but we have the...
Jim Gray just started yelling and swearing at me.
Why? Why is that?
I said, I go, oh, you know, you do the interview with Tom Brady. I'm like, you were in this documentary about Tom Brady at Oprah's house. And he goes, yeah. And I go, okay. And he goes, I'm friends with Oprah. And I go,
oh,
and
really?
He goes, you have friends that you go to dinner with? And I go, not Oprah.
Like, this. I'm sorry, I'm not friends with Oprah. Wow.
It's not like that's Bob the plumber.
Big time, man. That's big time.
Asking questions that we might thought be interesting, and he was mystified why this questioning would happen at all.
All right, wow. Forget it.
So you're in for it, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Jerry Rice.
I'm down.
Jerry Rice is here. I'm down.
Are you friends with Oprah?
God. That is major.
That was strange. I don't even know where it came from.
I guess I haven't done anything.
Really?
Nothing
at all.
That'd be us like going, hey, so how about the Super Bowl? Well, you played high school football.
Well, it just isn't of yours, you know?
Man.
Well, Jerry, we will make sure that this interview goes a lot better than the last one.
All right. 98.5 Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We're live from Super Bowl Radio Row. We are kind of...
What a joy Jerry Rice is, okay?
All right. Just start
with that.
We have to address something, and Jerry Rice was here, and he was awesome, but we weren't able to talk about what happened at the end of the 8 o'clock hour, and that was, okay, so to set everything up, walking behind us at Radio Row, people randomly walk by, and they do interviews and things like that. So I walked over. I saw Jim Gray. Now, Jim Gray, of course, is the guy who on Westwood One constantly, you know, once a week interviews Tom Brady. And, you know, he's done, like, some appearances with him before on stage, and he does the namby-pamby interview. Remember, we played some of the clips. So we're like, all right, let's talk to him. So Jim Gray sits down, if you didn't hear it, and the first question Fred asks was, so when Tom Brady did this Super Soul Sunday special with Oprah Winfrey, it was very strange because he was being interviewed in the woods, and behind the camera it pans over and you see Giselle. You see the cameraman, and there was only one other person, and it was Jim Gray. And Fred said, so now why were you a part of the taping? And he said, Oprah asked me to dinner. And we said, okay, so did you just get to the dinner really early? And he said, or maybe they were very late. All right. And we followed up one more question. He goes, and he gave like a one-word answer, and Fred goes, it sounds like you don't really want to be here right now, because he was like very standoffish, and he ended up like going off on Fred, and then finally Fred's like, listen, you obviously don't want to do this interview, so we're going to go ahead and cut it off now, and we want to go to commercial. What happened during the commercial or the headlines was he stood up and started yelling at Fred and me, and then said, I turned to him, I said, we weren't trying to like hijack you or anything. This is just you were being very evasive. You didn't answer the question, so we wanted to cut it off and let you go about your day, and then we would move on because Jerry Rice is waiting. And then he said, well, I want you to know that your show has a blank reputation. And I was like, what? And he started yelling at us. Apparently on Twitch, they could see him yelling at Fred while I was through the headlines. And the mics were off. And then he says, I want to talk to your program director. And starts talking to our program director. And to that, were we in the wrong at all? Anyone want to call? 617-779-0985. I'm looking at all our producers saying no. And like, unfortunately, our program director was, you know, trying to work with Jerry Rice people, so he didn't hear it. So he's having to hear Jim Gray tell like the story as if we went and like
it was 2 minutes. Awful. It was a 2 minute
interview. 2 minutes long.
All I did is say it's obvious you don't want to be here, and then I said let's go to headlines.
We literally asked him three, maybe four questions, and
there was nothing that I said or that Ridge said that was in any way talking down to him or no. in any way insulting to
and,
him.
And here's my opinion.
And then I don't
he
know.
Was he w- immediately was here going, I'm going to make this miserable because now I'm hearing that he knew our show and like people like sent him clips and he's like says we have a bad reputation. I mean, you say we have a blank reputation. Like, whose fault is that? We were trying to have like an open conversation. It was literally the first question we asked, and he was standoffish. Are we in the wrong at all? 617-779-0985. So it was weird. Jerry Rice had to see that too. Like, I mean, like he, him and Fred were like, and Fred's like, dude, you didn't want to answer questions. We cut it off because you obviously wanted other places to be. And we have Jerry Rice and he couldn't get over it. So for 15 minutes, he was chewing our program director's ear off. Who I feel bad. I apologize because he doesn't need that today. We're all kind of busy.
All right. But I can't get calls on him. Here, so just start taking calls.
Yeah, just start at the top. Let's go to
all right, where are we at? Who can answer the phone in there for and put it on the air?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
This is Scott from Virginia, and I just wanted to let you know that you all were in the right. There was obviously nothing that you guys did wrong. You guys were interviewing him, and he was totally, as Rich had mentioned, was standoffish. Well, you guys didn't know this, but over Rich's left shoulder, we could see Jim Gray pointing and gesturing and obviously talking to your program director and obviously wasn't happy. But I don't understand why he wasn't happy. I mean, what did you all
do? What else am I supposed to do but end the interview? I mean, he was miserable. Yeah. He didn't want to be here. I mean, there's literally nothing else I can do. Why he was mad, fine. But there's nothing I can do. We didn't insult him. The question was exceptionally valid. And then off the air, I said, Tom, I said, here's the reason we asked the question. I said, Tom's a mercurial guy, and, you know, there's not a lot known about him. You know, he's playing in the Super Bowl.
And you're in his inner circle. And we would love to kind of know how the relationship started. And that's when he said, well, you guys have a blank reputation.
So there you go.
So that was weird. And I don't know what kind of world I'm in where he thinks that we were in the wrong there.
All right, take one more call and then we'll get over it. Alan,
what's
hello.
Up, Alan?
Yeah, you guys are completely in the right. Screw that guy. He's being a prick. Best radio of the morning, though, hearing you cut him off, Fred. Thanks for the classic. Get out of here.
All right. Well, thank you.
I think we were also doing him a favor. I thought it was
Rich,
like
there was nothing else I could do.
Yeah.
What do you want me to berate him? I mean, he came over. All I did was end the interview. I don't know why he's so butthurt about the whole thing.
And by the way, if we had this reputation, why say yes? Why come over?
I don't even think he had a reputation. He thinks we had a reputation. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Wow.
All right, one more just to make our program feel
right. We're doing this just to make him feel a little bit better. Because he just got... by the way, it's ridiculous he had to deal with that. I mean, honestly.
Right. One more. Scott, go ahead.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Scott?
Hey, I'm thinking that Jim has a little bit of an argument here. And it starts off by, I think Rich set him off by kind of insulting him and saying that you're with two famous people and then Jim Gray. So when I heard that, I said, you know what? That was a little bit of a dig. And then he kind of baited him by calling him secretive as well. So I think Fred's going to take a lot of the heat with this, but I think it was really Rich that kind of set him off.
I don't think I said two famous people. I said, so you've got
all right.
Tom Brady and Giselle, and then there's
all right.
you.
All right. One more. All right.
Now, I did say he was being secretive. I did, because right. he was.
All right.
I was like, you're being... By the way, I thought he was a guy who didn't like namby-pamby interviews. Remember that was his whole thing?
Yes. All right. Well, all right. Take one more. Kyla, hello.
Hi. Hi. I just listened to that, and he just sounded like such a prick by being like, oh, yeah, no, just not even making a big deal about being at dinner with Oprah. Are you kidding me?
And Tom Brady. And he goes, don't you have dinner with people? And I said, yeah, but not...
two of the most famous people on the planet.
Yeah, the two of the most famous people on the planet. And he goes, well... And then he goes, well, just waiting for dinner. All right,
yeah,
so
that was such a dick move.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else we could have done, but thank you.
Well, there you go. Thank you.
I hope you feel better.
Do you feel better, Mike, a little bit? No.
That's a big head shake right there.
Well, if anything, that was a reason to get on Twitch.
All right.
So, there it is. Twitch.tv. Right. Yeah. Search the sports.
Saw it all right there.
You know, the one thing, Fred, we're back live. The one thing about all that was just amazing was how Jim Gray didn't let it go. He, for how many weeks after that, continued to call our boss, anybody who had anything to do with us. I mean, like was really, really, like, the dude did not let it go.
He called Westwood One, who our program director's brother runs.
I think he called the Patriots.
Yeah, he like called the Patriots.
Which is awesome.
Piece of crap.
Man, he lost. By the way, the one line that, listening to it this time, and I've heard that a bunch, but the one line that just this time has really made me go crazy was the, are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm surprised, you nobody. And by the way, you have headphones on, you jackass. It's like Oprah, Tom Brady, and a janitor. Like there could be there anyone more inconsequential? And to not even have the humility to go, oh, yeah, you know, I'm friends with Tom, and, you know, yeah, I know, it looks weird. I mean, Jesus.
Are you surprised?
He's walking around, too, like, just asking for people to interview him. It's not like anyone, like, want. He's just walking around. I thought it would kill the end of the show.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? And that's what that was.
And I'll be honest, one of the things that kind of put a bow to that day was a big Jim Murray's impression of Jim Gray later on in the afternoon. He absolutely nailed it. So it's my favorite impression that he does.
Yeah, he nailed the impression.
All right. So do you guys think you'll ever come across him again?
I don't want to.
Why would we want to talk to him?
No, I'm saying, will you come across him?
Oh, like, if I come across him, what's he going to do, beat me up?
No, I don't think so at all.
Is he going to rumble in the streets? Like, are you okay? I mean,
like if
he's like the one person on the planet I could beat up.
He just, you know, you fart violently, he'll knock him over. Like, he'll turn to dust.
Like at the Super Bowl, he'll walk by your booth or something like that.
If he demands to come on, I'm putting him on.
Oh, yeah. If he demands to come on, and then
you bet your ass.
That's what I want to know.
Please. Because, I mean, this is one of those things where, I mean, there's no question as to where our listeners lie on all this. Well, I mean, it's like he was a dick.
It's Bono, Paul McCartney, and Gerardo.
The Rico Suave guy.
I'm friends with Paul. Paul's friends with Bono. I did Rico Suave.
Oh, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom.
All right.
Stedman knows
Tom. Can I just get the, are you surprised? That's listening to it, for some reason, it took me this long to realize that that's the line I think that got under my skin the most.
All right. Shane Gillis, let's get him in here. He is patiently waiting. Shane Gillis is going to be out in Worcester. We'll talk to him in just a moment.
Back to Rich, it's a flea flicker. Down the right side, Edelman wide open. Into the end zone. Touchdown.
Sunday.
Razzle dazzle, part two, baby.
The Pats are on the road to take on the Bengals.
You got to love it.
Pre-game live from Howl at the Moon at Patriot Place begins at 10. Kickoff with Bob and Zoe is at 1 on the Safety Insurance. 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. Patriots, Bengals on 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is where Boston talks sports. Toucher and Rich, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Real quick, Fred, just a little follow-up. Somebody directed me to Jim Gray's Wikipedia page. It says, Jim Gray's an American sportscaster. He knows Stedman. Oprah knows Tom. Tom knows Stedman. His wife knows Oprah. So they had a dinner. That's actually in his Wikipedia there. So,
well, he'll probably sue us for that. Shane Gillis, I'm going to read the Wikipedia thing, and then I'm going to get to talking to you. He does the bonfire, which is very funny, with Big J Oakerson.
Who we just had him in.
Dan Soder is going to be on in a couple weeks.
Friday, I think Oakerson was in, yeah.
Yeah, last Friday. He does Legion of Skanks. It has Oakerson, and we're going to have, what's-his-face in as well, the Puerto Rican guy. I can't remember.
Luis J. Gomez.
All right, so you, Shane, and obviously we'll bother you about Saturday Live, but first, You're a big fella now, and not fat. But
I'm fat.
Yeah, but then if I say you're fat, then I have to say I'm fat, and then the whole thing goes
around. Yeah, we're fat, man.
Yeah, but not like fat.
Sure.
Like fat, that we're like drinking fat.
Yes.
So, it's like, if you stop...
Bloated is the word.
I think it's Boston normal.
Yeah.
Sure.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There's a lot of very thin men with heavier women. The women around really? Here get away with it. And so, like, if you stop drinking, would you lose a lot of weight?
Yes.
See, same with me.
Yes.
But I refuse to do that.
Yeah, I can't do it, which I think is a problem. now that we're really figuring it out.
Unless you've hit, like, I think unless you've hit, like, a bot. Like, have you drank today?
No.
Okay.
Okay, that's a start, then.
So there you go.
You're better off than half a Boston.
I will, though.
Yeah, well, so will I. But the point is that we're both functioning without any chemicals.
Yes.
And so, except for antidepressants.
So we're fine. We're fine.
So we're fine.
Who's giving us...
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, so that's right. Do you never have these conversations with yourself?
Yeah.
When you're on the road?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard part about stand-up is not drinking. That's why you run into so many comics that are sober. You know, a lot of them have to just totally give it up.
Because do you drink before you go on stage?
I'll have like one or two before a show. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's
but nothing. Yeah. You can't get drunk and do stand up. It's really, really hard.
Yeah. That's Stanhope.
Stanhope can do it.
How is he thin? Do you know him?
Yeah, I do.
I was talking
to him yesterday.
I recently read his two books. He's brilliant.
I love him.
I mean, he's really like a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
Like his ideas on society and stuff. But like how does he stay thin?
I don't know.
Because he's a full-blown alkie, right?
I guess. Yeah, true. Like, if he tries to do, like, Sober October, he'll, like, die.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried? If he cuts Ed out, he's dead.
Yeah, because, like, Rogan
and Bert
Kirshner and...
Ari
Thompson.
Yeah.
They do this Sober October. Now, have you ever tried anything like that?
No.
Okay, so I was getting way too drunk for a while, and then so I did kind of a month, but I gave myself little breaks.
Sure.
And then since I did that, now I'm confident again. That
yeah. You're like, I got this under control.
Yeah, like, hey,
if it gets nuts, I can go back to say, oh yeah, for a couple of days I stopped.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is that it was before a physical, so you can go. I'm a moderate drinker. Like,
sure.
You know, like it's. How often do you drink? Well, you know, three times a week.
Twice a week.
Yeah. Take that, doc. My liver levels obviously are a flaw in your testing. All right. So you grow up and you grow up like kind of where it's Harrisburg, right?
Yeah. Well, Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. And you're an athlete there?
Yes.
Because I always think of like that area of the country as being like all the right moves. Like where football is dominant.
Yeah, football's big there.
All right,
for sure.
What did you play? Like what sport?
I played offensive line. I played left tackle.
Okay,
in high school. Yeah.
And for the people to know, how tall are you?
I'm 6'3".
Yeah, you're a bigger guy.
Joe Murray, what did you play?
I played tackle as well.
Nice,
but I'm 6'3", 320, no, 380 now.
Hell yeah.
You were 320 pounds in high school.
Yeah, I was 6 feet 286 as a freshman.
286. Wow.
Yeah. Did you get any scholarship offers?
Like small schools, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not bigger schools?
Because I played in the Catholic Conference, so.
Okay. Because was it weird, like people going back to your school that had graduated, like, 30 years before and like, that kind of thing? Like a Friday Night Lights thing when you were playing football out there?
My school wasn't as serious. Like, I mean, football is big in central Pennsylvania for sure, but I went to like a smaller Catholic school.
Okay.
So it wasn't like the biggest thing in the world compared to, we were more of a basketball school, to be honest.
Zoe's dad was a big coach in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but that's out by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Scott Zolak, who works for the station, he was a backup quarterback for the Patriots.
And oh, nice.
He's going to be very pissed that you don't know who he is, especially because you grew up in the same area that apparently he did. So
yeah, he went to
big ego bruise, which is
Ringgold
great.
High School.
Ringgold? All right.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it?
Never even heard of it.
Yeah, you never heard of it. All right, so we'll get to the Sara Lee thing quickly. And I know you've told the story a million times.
No, that's fine.
Okay, because if you don't know Shane Gillis... had been greenlit to go on Saturday Night Live, and then they, as they often do, people couldn't take that good news, so they had to immediately go and search around and find for ways to cut him down because they were. Who was the main guy that did it?
His name is Seth Simons, and he's like a he's a poet from Brooklyn.
Like a is he trying to be funny?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Yeah, I think he was trying to be funny, and then he writes serious poetry, which that's cool.
All right. Well,
pays the bills.
So
yeah, it does not.
This comedian Karen Freehan said that you told her, like, when you knew you were probably going to get Saturday Night Live, that you were going to have to scrub a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So you started panicking.
I didn't panic. I just kind of was like, I don't know. I was kind of resigned to my fate. I was just like, there's too much out there for me to try to delete everything.
Yeah.
Now, and I was just like, look, if I don't know, I thought NBC would have found it, but they didn't. That's the thing. Like, they don't. Everybody keeps coming up with these, like, conspiracy theories. Like, oh, we think they hired you because they wanted the press attention when you got, like, this controversy. They just never check for podcasts.
Right.
Like, yeah. They're used to, like, improv people and stuff. They rarely hire stand-ups. And when they do, I don't know, they don't check podcasts. So they checked, like, my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter to see if I had any inappropriate jokes. And I don't post jokes on there. So they were like, yeah, you're fine.
So when
was it Lauren who called you or somebody else?
To hire me?
No, to fire you.
To fire me? Yeah, it was Lauren, both of those.
Okay. And yeah. And so what did he say when you got the call that that you were not going to be a member of SNL?
We had had a conversation for a long, like, I mean, for a week. The whole week I was on the phone, like, discussing it with him because he was trying to figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted that ending. Yeah, he was. I think he was bummed out. He was kind of, you know, it wasn't a good look for SNL.
Did he blame it on anybody else's decision, or did he say it was his decision?
I don't think he placed blame on anybody, but I doubt it was his decision.
Okay, so when you audition, first of all, that process just seems like the most stressful.
Just the worst.
I know. I've seen the audition videos that they release on some of the people. So when you go in there, like, there's a bunch of different approaches you could take. I know I've seen, like, Will Ferrell. He immediately did impressions on a lot of those. Like, were you impressions guy, or how did you
No, I just that? I just did stand-up. So now you can do stand-up for your audition. It used to be you had to do, like, I think it was, like, three characters and something like that. But, yeah, I just did stand-up. And they laughed. They were laughing the whole time. So I was like, this is great. Isn't that hard.
Did they ever tell you, or was there ever any inclination as to how they were going to use you? Like, if there are any certain characters that they thought you'd be good?
No. Nothing like that. I think, well, that was the thing, because he was, you know, when we discussed what I would do, because I never did improv.
Yeah.
I'm just stand-up.
Oh,
so.
You're missing out.
Yeah. I've
There's
seen
nothing
it.
More fun than watching improv right in front of you.
It's, yeah, and those people are usually fun to be around.
I walked out of second. I was like, I went to Second City in Chicago. I was like, oh yeah, you know, Belushi, all these fellas. And I went in and they started dancing and singing. And my wife and I just immediately left.
Good.
Like this is not going to be funny.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. You can't save yourself when you open a show by dancing and singing.
Yeah. I was, when I was auditioning, I was with three other improv kids from Chicago, I think.
Okay.
And they were. It was right when I think Chappelle's special had come out, and they were, while we were just killing time, because that's one of the thing about the process of SNL. It's like, it's a lot of, like, hurry up and wait type thing where it's just, like, real stressful, and then you sit in an office for 3 hours. Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just, they mess with you.
Right.
But they were just, like, talking badly about Chappelle's special, and I was like, all right, well, we're not going to get along. Like, if you guys are offended by this, this is...
And the stuff he said he got away with.
Well, here's the thing about Chappelle that's great, is that Chappelle doesn't care. And what could anyone do to Chappelle? It's, like, different than Louis C.K. And first of all, what Chappelle said things, Louis C.K. did things. But, like, Chappelle can go up and do whatever he wants, and what's going to be the consequence?
Yeah, you can't take from those guys. Like, you can't take from him.
Like, okay, you're not going to give me any more specials? Fine. He didn't care.
And they are going to give him specials whenever he wants.
And they're absolutely going to give him specials whenever they want.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I recently saw the Jimmy Fallon audition for Saturday Night Live.
So did I.
Yeah, you like that one? Yeah, when you had the troll?
Yeah.
It's real funny.
It was interesting.
He might as well have turned around and said, like, now I'm Jack Nicholson. He just sat with the troll out there. So, okay.
But I do want to ask you just the final thing about this is that, you know, you've been on the other side of this.
I think that we live in a world where I hate that people think that you can't learn or change or do, from an experience. You know what I mean? It's almost you're always going to be a person locked in time for one thing. No one's allowed to mess up once anymore. Yeah. But we also live in a society where we've seen some people who have gotten in trouble and things like that before end up finally getting forgiveness and coming back into the fold. How tough do you think that road is? And do you believe that you've kind of seen that maybe there is going to be now an understanding that people can change? Or is it still the world of internal damnation for one thing that you've done in your life?
I mean, it'll definitely always stick with me. But I don't know. I think that's the thing. I got in trouble and canceled or whatever, and nobody's ever seen one thing I've ever done. I have no body of work. So when you cancel somebody like Chappelle, or try to, it's oh, well, he's hilarious.
Yeah.
With me, no one knows if I'm funny or not.
But here's the thing.
I think once people see me do stand-up or, if I put out a special or something, then that would help.
But the thing is now, the thing is now that's great, though, is that you don't need SNL anymore. I mean, if you look at all these people that have, Comedy Central shows, if you look at Nick Kroll and stuff like that, they don't need it. They didn't need it. Or people who got fired, like Jenny Slate, who gets fired from Saturday Night Live. Now she's got specials on Netflix.
Sure.
And she's doing shows. So, that's what's happening. So you are touring now.
Mm-hmm.
And are you very excited to be in Worcester?
I was just talking about this. It's it's funny that there's certain clubs that so now there's this weird pressure. Now that I've been fired by SNL, there's certain things that are embarrassing.
Yeah.
I drive a 2003 Corolla. Before I had SNL, I was this is funny. This is just a junk car. Now, if I pull up to a club and people see me and I'm in an 03 Corolla, I'm damn, this is sad.
This this is the guy who had SNL. Yeah, he had the world on his string.
And so now there's certain comedy club names that hurt to be I got fired from SNL, but I'm fine. I'm at the Woo Ha Ha in Worcester. Things are going well.
Now, are you driving yourself around?
We've had a ton of comedians in here. I don't think we've ever had anyone playing at the Woo Ha Ha. Is this the first Woo Ha Ha?
Well, it's new. Worcester.
New? Okay, well, that's part of the
revitalization of Worcester. Yeah. It's part
Worcester's
of
Worcester's coming back.
So are you traveling with Paris an opener now, or anybody?
Yeah, usually my friend Chris comes, but I mean, it just came up from New York.
Oh, okay.
It's not that. It's not. Yeah.
So you're going to be out there in Worcester.
Worcester's going to be crazy.
Are you familiar with
it? On a Friday night, man.
Are you familiar with the town?
I've been there once. I did a show there for some recovery benefit. Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun. It was fun. I got drunk at the benefit. People were very upset.
You just say, this is so fun.
Yeah.
You don't know, have any idea what you're missing. I brought in nips.
Yeah.
You know, anyone? This is going to be fun for me. So you are indeed playing the Woo Ha Ha Comedy Club in Worcester.
Yes. Yes. Proud of that.
Why do they do that?
I don't know.
Why do they know?
I don't know. My other, one of my favorite clubs is called Magoobie's Joke House. And it hurts.
To say that.
To be no, it's a really nice room.
If you're hitting Magoobies on a lady or something, where are you? Oh, I'm a famous comedian. Oh, yeah? Where are you playing?
Magoobies.
Yeah.
So you do stuff on Compound Media?
I did. I had stopped a few months before the SNL thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm friends with all those guys.
Yeah, because Anthony Cumia, they did it. I'm not going to mention myself, right? But they did a Chip Chipperson. I always do this.
Yeah. Friend was a guest.
On Chip Chipperson. Yeah. But awesome. It was no, I did really bad. But the but Anthony here, when he left the club, it was like the Beatles.
Yeah, man.
It's crazy, how popular he is still from being around here.
Yeah, Anthony Cumia is huge. Yeah.
Do you think that makes money?
Compound?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine. I don't think they're.
He's just
doing it for
free.
Fun.
Yeah.
Because no one. Yeah, they don't seem like they're having fun.
All right.
I think they're making some money. they're having fun.
He's only got to work 3 hours a week.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. All right, Shane Gillis, you can see him tonight and tomorrow night, so that means a night in Worcester for him.
Oh.
It's
going to be great.
At the Woo-Ha, if you got a place to crash, at the Woo-Ha-Ha Comedy Club in Worcester. For tickets and more information, visit ShaneMGillis.com. So go ahead and do that. Thank you so much for the time.
Awesome.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
All right, we appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Jackson spins, throws, pass, caught. Ingram into the end zone for the touchdown.
Five to Sports Hub. I should do this right now. I should do this. Ah, good idea. Listen, at 8:55 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Pistons next Friday, December 20th. TD Garden will be heating up this winter as your Boston Celtics look to defend home court. Catch upcoming matchups against the Heat, Nuggets, Cavs, and Sixers. Visit Celtics.com/tickets and secure your seats today.
I have to be honest, I didn't watch a ton of Thursday Night Football last night. I was flipping mostly between the Celtics and the Bruins, but I did see enough to watch the Ravens at the beginning of the game dominate. Although there were some, I saw a nice little blocked punt, ran back immediately for a Jets touchdown. I saw
Darnold played relatively well, but the defense was missing their first round pick. They are. I can't name one corner on the team legitimately.
Darryl Roberts.
Huh?
Darryl Roberts played well.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Former Patriot, that's why.
After the second touchdown, I thought that maybe it would be a good time to do something else. But, but I'll tell you, Greg Williams, for as much as people may hate Greg Williams, and he is ridiculous.
He's the worst.
He is a hell of a defensive coordinator, I can tell you that. They've been doing it with smoke and mirrors this year because they got nobody. They suck. And they are 10 years away in a miracle from being any good.
Well, so what happened last night is you saw Lamar Jackson passing Michael Vick for the most rushing yards by a quarterback. And Tom Brady, during the game, tweeted out, "Me versus Lamar, 40-yard dash on natural grass, but he has to wear rollerblades. Who's buying the pay-per-view?" Yesterday, Lamar Jackson was asked about that, and he actually had a reaction to it.
Lamar, Tom Brady tweeted during the game and said he would like to have a 40-yard dash on grass, but you would have to be on rollerblades.
He probably going to win that race. Rollerblades on grass?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm going to see what I can do. Tom still got a little bit in him. Yeah. I seen him.
Yeah. So, I mean, by the way, Lamar Jackson, he's got the MVP locked up. The guy is unbelievably likable. He is going to be a superstar as long as he doesn't get hurt.
And it's so funny now that I always kind of dismissed him getting hurt. And now that he's so good, I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to get hurt.
Well, the one time he got hurt last week, he was in the pocket.
He threw a touchdown pass.
But I mean, so think about that. I mean, I know a lot of people were, oh, well, here it is. He finally got hurt. Everyone knew it was going to happen. Dude was in the pocket when he got hurt.
He's going to play one more game, and then they're going to sit him out week 17.
Yeah.
Depending on seeding.
How late in the game did they put in?
It was the end of it. It was like maybe 8 minutes to go.
Okay.
Oh, RG3?
RG3 had like two drives.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because I just saw the box score. Yeah. Didn't feel, as a Jet fan, didn't feel a responsibility. I watched the Bruins game. I did not feel a responsibility to watch the Jets.
Well, Fred, this is something that I thought that you would need to hear. You know, the great Doug Gottlieb of the CBS Sports Minute fame, who didn't love those things? Yeah,
they were sponsored.
They were and they were just the hottest of takes.
They were great. It's just
if
like,
we had to rank in order of, oh, God, I can't believe I have to listen to this. From Boomer Esiason, Doug Gottlieb, who was Sleepy McBeef, who was on after?
Oh, the guy who wrote...
the guy who talked like this.
I hung up on him once before.
John Feinstein.
Feinstein,
I think his name was. And then the last one was Rome. Rome was the best.
Yeah, because he was like, what's up?
And then Boomer, because you and I heard him actually doing the reads that were written for him in the morning.
He loved to do it. And he wrote every one of them.
He would be handed these sheets, and Boomer would just like read it.
He spent hours slaving over those Sports Minutes.
And then I would go Sleepy McBeef and Doug Gottlieb. So Doug Gottlieb, who is, of course, unfortunately in fourth place when it comes to listenability.
Oh,
CBS
real
Sports
quick Minute. Before I forget.
Okay.
Did you guys hear about the color analyst for one of the radio teams that said that Lamar Jackson...
Oh, the 49ers.
This is a big story.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
No, we haven't talked about it. So what he said was that it was tough to see him do handoffs because of the color of his skin was so dark.
As opposed to other black quarterbacks.
Like Randall Cunningham.
Next game, he put on a big white sleeve with a white glove.
And he sucked. ironically, he wasn't good.
Well, it was all because of the white.
I know. But, I mean, he did do that. And I thought that was actually funny of Lamar Jackson to do that. But you know that immediately afterwards, and I thought this was kind of cool, because, and this kind of goes to what we had Shane Gillis in here, is that, although Shane's is a lot different, is that Richard Sherman came out. And Richard Sherman said, I know this guy. He's not a racist. He was making any.
What he said wasn't racist.
And he actually even said after that, he goes, I know what he was trying to say.
Yes.
And to be quite honest, there's probably some truth to it.
No, he wasn't trying to be racist. I thought it was just really, like, stupid.
Right.
No.
But,
like, where'd the ball go?
Not according to Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman actually said, and I thought that there were some other guys with the 49ers who came out. And I thought that was cool that somebody was able to say, I know this dude.
Yeah.
He's not. Something just came out wrong. People who speak a lot for a living, and trust me, we're sitting on the other side of this. So, you know, sometimes things just don't come out right.
I didn't say I found it racist. I said that I found it just like a dumb take. Like,
yeah.
But I guess maybe, I don't, listen. I've stopped the game very early in my life.
Well, now I don't have time to play this. We'll play it in a little bit.
Yeah,
but Doug Gottlieb said something amazingly brilliant about Lamar Jackson.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing that. Let's go to save it for when we have more time. Chris Forsberg is going to join us right now. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Celtics take on the Pistons next Friday. December 20th, TD Garden will be heating up this winter as your Boston Celtics look to defend home court. Catch up coming matches against the Heat, Nuggets, Cavs, and Sixers. Visit Celtics.com/tickets and secure your seats today.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.